America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
They're 6-2. It's a four-game winning streak. And, of course, Nick Sirianni joins us every single Tuesday at this time. He's brought to us by Bud Light. Pre-game with Ava Graham this Sunday before the Birds play Dallas at the Irish Horn in Richboro. Now, the Eagles will play in Dallas, but you can be at the Irish Horn in Richboro. Win tickets to the next Eagles home game and, of course, win merchandise. And we welcome the 6-2 head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Nick Sirianni. Good morning, Nick.
Morning, guys. I'm not going to FaceTime you, though.
That would be cool.
That wouldn't work that well on radio. Now, all fair, we'll accept the call. We wouldn't mind that.
It would be so personal.
There you go.
I'd be flattered.
So, Nick, let's start with that. John just touched on it, so let's just get to that, and then we'll get to everything else. But so this connectivity thing, which obviously has been a hallmark of your tenure, where did it come from in your background that I think you lean into it more than most as coaches? And what is the frequency with which you reach out to the guys to try to connect in that way?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I think that any team, I think it starts with this. Any team I've ever been on, it's about team. Any good team I've ever been on, it's always been about team. And it's not the best groups of individuals that wins. It's the best teams. It's the teams that are willing to go a little bit harder for because they don't want to disappoint the guy next to them. That dates all the way back to I'm shooting baskets in my driveway at my house, you know, any summer day. And I can't tell you how many times there was a former player that pulled up and said, "Yeah, I'm back in town. Is your dad home? And I just want to say hi to Coach Sirianni." And always that relationship I thought meant a ton. And then fast forward to when I was in college. I had a pretty significant injury, and it forced me to be in the hospital for about 2 weeks, a football injury. And excuse me. And the day after it happened, we were playing, or 2 days after it happened, we were playing a game. And my head coach, Larry Karras, came into the hospital room. You know, the day of the game. And I don't remember what he said. I don't remember much about that. But you know what I do remember is he sat there, talked with me and my parents for a while. He left. He said, "Hey, Nick, we're going to miss you out there today and the rest of the year." And there was something in me that said, you know, this guy really cares about me. This guy really loves me. And I don't know if I'm capable of being an All-American, but I want to be an All-American for Larry Karras because I know he cares about me. And, you know, I wasn't good enough to be an All-American. I was second team All-OAC, Ohio Athletic Conference in college. But, so I didn't quite reach that feat, but, I did respect the heck out of him, and I did know he cared about me, and I just knew that there was, with those couple moments and those things that you're brought up in, you know, just like anything, it shapes who you are, and it shapes what you believe in, yeah. And it shapes how you lead. And I think those are the things that are there, and then those are the things that you remember most about all the players that you've been around is the relationships. You admire the plays that they've made and but you admire more the time that you spent with them and the relationships that you have, that's going to last forever.
Yeah, that's important. You know, Nick, I heard a story years ago that when Coach Vermeil was about to coach the Rams in that Super Bowl, shortly before it, I don't know if it's an hour, 2 or 3 hours before the Super Bowl, he called his quarterback from UCLA. And he thanked him for, you know, if that quarterback doesn't do what he does in the 70s, Dick Vermeil probably doesn't become an Eagles head coach. If he doesn't, he probably doesn't coach the Rams in 1999. So that stuff matters. All right, Nick, let's talk
that's
about
awesome.
Yeah,
that's,
it's
I got a lot of phone calls to make and thank a lot of players that put me in this spot then today.
There you go. All right, so Nick, let's talk about Sunday. And so obviously some very notable fourth down decisions and 2-point conversion decisions on Sunday. And you said yesterday, and this was the quote, you said, "I think we did the right thing in all those scenarios." So what do you say? And I thought you did in some and not in others, full disclosure. That's what I've been saying the last 2 days. What do you say to the people who disagree with you on 1, 2, 3, 4 of them? What do you say to people who think you got it wrong a couple times?
Sure, yeah. You know, I know that any time a fourth down decision doesn't succeed, you know, that's going to be a lonely place for myself. And it's also going to be a moment that, you know, I'm going to always have to, look at and say, did I go through the right process or was I reactionary? Well, everything that I try to teach our guys is to be process oriented. So you're not making rash decisions during the game off your hip or whatever. And so all those decisions I made were exactly what they're Eagle football. It's what we've been doing for the last 4 years or last 3.5 years that I've been the head coach. It's been Eagle football, and it's not easy. Obviously, it's not easy because when it fails, there's going to be criticism, and when it succeeds, you know, no one's really high fiving me, and that's okay. But you're doing everything you possibly can do to put the team in a position to win. And so those are all decisions that I'll go back. Like, and we were 11-15 on fourth down going into that game. And so, you know, what we're proud of is that we followed our process, and that, you know, there was noise after the New Orleans game that, you know, we shouldn't have done something or, you know what? And we continued to play Eagle football, what we know Eagle football is. And it helped us get a lead in the Giants game on a 4th-and-3. It helped us early on in the Green Bay game on a 4th-and-3 that helped convert to drives. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those don't go your way. You're not going to be 100% on those. And I have to be able to do what I think's best for the football team at all times, regardless of public opinion, regardless of criticism. I think that's what leader, you know, you're not going to be popular as a leader at all times. It's just not going to be, it's not the reality of leadership. But leadership is doing everything you think is the right thing to do, not off gut reactions, but off of your process and the preparation that you did, right, to help your team succeed and block out every outside noise. Because if I want my team to block out outside noise when it's good, and I want my team to block out outside noise when it's bad, to just focus on the process, then I sure as heck better do it.
Nick, you talk about the players on a good team. They don't want to disappoint the guys next to them. Do you find that that affects you as a play caller? You know, do you find that you can go for it at times on offense to show the players that you trust them, to reinforce that you believe they can win in that situation?
Of course, yeah. I think that, again, you don't want to let anybody down. That's why you feel so bad when it doesn't go your way, and you feel great when it does. But I think that all comes down to back to the relationships and back to the trust. I have to trust my process of what, again, it's not any numbers that are telling me what to do. It's my trust in the players, right? On a 4th-and-3 against the New York Giants, you know, I think there was a video out that our team put out. It was like, I'm watching this video and I'm remembering what I said. Like, I circled Jalen Hurts and I circled A.J. Brown. I said, I'm going for this right here because I trust the crap out of you guys. Like, you guys have showed me time and time again, like, that you've been successful in this, and we score a touchdown there. You know, and I did, and I trusted them on 4th-and-3 in this game. It didn't go our way this time. But I think it does come down to, again, trusting your process, not being reactionary, not having any influence from any outside noise, and just trusting mm-hmm. what you do, because we spend a lot of time on that, a lot of time. And then trusting, you know, it comes down to trusting your players. We do, like, again, you're on a good team, so you trust your players. I trust A.J. Brown. I trust Devontae Smith. I trust Jalen Jalen Hurts. I trust Saquon Barkley. I trust Lane Johnson, Mekhi Becton, Cam Jurgens, Landon Dickerson, Jordan Mailata when he's back, Fred Johnson. Now I trust Dallas Goedert. I mean that's been a big reason where we've been able to get leads and have this.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Success we've had is because we haven't kicked field goals and we've been able to go and get points. But I fully understand, guys, that when it doesn't go your way, there's going to be criticism. But again, you got to do what you think's best for the football team, and that's not blind faith, right? I think that, you know, faith is, you know, we have blind faith in our faith, but then you have faith because of results and what's happened and what you see at practice every day.
Sure.
And what you've seen on Sundays for the last couple years. And so that's where that conviction, that the process, the trust comes into play.
So, Nick, one of the late decisions, and let's talk about trust from the perspective of the defense. So you go for the 57-yard field goal. What about the trust in the defense to say, if I punt this ball with a good punter, he probably gets the ball around the 10, and I make Trevor Lawrence, and I'll say it, you won't, but a very not good offense, have to go 90 yards against my defense, which has largely dominated the game. I mean, where does that come into the equation in that moment instead of a 57-yarder, which if you miss it, and you do have a good chance to miss it, the ball's sitting right by midfield?
Yeah, I think that's even more trust in your defense to say if you do miss it, you know they're going to stop them, and we did. But I understand. I understand your question.
Sure.
I think the trust comes in Jake and the field goal unit first and foremost. 2 years ago, you know, I put myself, the things that we go through with situational game management things, you know, that's going to be a 3-hour meeting that I have today. That's meetings throughout the week. And then that's review of all those things and tapes of these things on Saturday. I put a lot of time into this and, you know, that's my job as a head coach, to make sure that we're managing the game the right way. So I take myself back and you put yourself, and again, the trust that you have in players. You know, a lot of different metrics are used to help me make these decisions. Trust, past experience, analytics, all those things. All those things help you make these decisions. But I think, again, I say again, first and foremost is the trust in the players. So 2 years ago against Green Bay, we were up 7 points. And the ball was actually back a little bit further. It was a little bit more of a windy day. We were going the other way, but we were up 7 points. I believe it was 37-30. In the fourth quarter, and we were, I'm like, okay, here we go. Let's let Jake put us up 2 scores. And he crushed it. He nailed it. It was great operation. And so, you know, it was this very similar one. Now you're not going to go up 2 scores, but you're going to go up 8. And when you're up 8, it's a different feeling than when you're up 7, because you know that, you know, there's, it's just a little bit of a different feeling.
Sure.
Both offensively and defensively. And so that was in my mind, and I did what I thought in that time was the right thing. It didn't work. So our defense had to play defense with a little bit shorter of a field, and they did, and they did an awesome job. Nicobe made a great play. You know, it's pretty cool when you win on a walk-off touchdown. So I think I trusted Jake in that spot. It didn't work this time, and I have no doubt that Jake's one of the most clutch kickers in the NFL. I mean, look at his track record. The last year's Buffalo game, hitting that, and that was to tie it up to go to overtime, but hitting that one from the 42-yard line in the rain and the wind and all that crap. And so, you know, again, you trust in them and trust in the defense that if we do miss this, you know, they've been playing pretty darn good football all game, that we can get a stop if we do.
Nick, what's going wrong with the tush push? We've grown unaccustomed to not converting in goal line and short yardage situations, and then all of a sudden we got hit with a couple non-conversions. What went wrong?
Yeah, man, that play's been so electric for – I don't want to say electric because you only gain like 2 yards on it, but like right. It's been
effective
so
is all hell.
Yeah. Effective would be the word,
effective.
Yeah.
Effective, exactly. There you go. That's why you guys talk all day, and effective is the right word. Man, you know what? Hats off to Jacksonville. They did a really good job. And you know what? We're going back to the drawing board. We've had a lot of success there, and we got to do a couple different things coaching wise. That's gonna help some things out. That I still got a lot of faith in. Because again, you don't lose faith in something just because of one day. And you know, I know we've missed a couple this year, but you know, I don't know exactly what our percentages are comparatively to last year, but I know it's still been highly productive, more so than other plays and other teams doing it, you know. And so, again, hats off to Jacksonville. They had a good plan. They did a good job. When you load the box and do something to stop it, the other things become there's other opportunities for you. And so we'll continue to press on as coaches to make sure that play is – we still got the right guys to do that play and to do everything there. And so we'll try to help these guys be in better spots. I know we'll work our fundamentals that it takes to be good there. We studied the crap out of what Jacksonville did to stop it, and have some answers to go forward from there, because we know we'll probably see it again.
Nick Sirianni here. Two final things. An all-timer by Saquon, the whole thing, the play, the game, the season, it's all an all-timer. How, though, in, like, the world can the replay booth determine that Jags defender tripping him did not contribute to him falling? I mean, I thought it was a travesty. What did you make of it? And how shocked were you when you heard the official call upon review?
I was hoping you'd ask me more about the play that he made than the one that I'm upset about, yeah.
You can't get fined for talking about his great play, right?
Exactly. I know you guys don't care about the final.
No, we do care, but it really, I mean, Nick, here's what I'll just say this. So there's a narrative out there that the game was close because the game was close, but I really believe a lot of people have missed the other team being handed 7 points. Like, literally, here you go, other team, here's 7 points. That made the game closer than it would have been.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. I think, you know what, it's very, I'll say it this way. I'll always keep my conversations with the league private. I won't ever put those out there, just like I won't with any players or anything like that. And we're still waiting to hear back. So I don't even have that answer yet, but, I do know this, and that these things happen to level out as the year goes on. You're going to get some calls. You're going to miss some calls. And you're not going to get some calls. So it's like, this is coming from me, who gets, you know, animated about a call that doesn't go his way at times, right? And so I think I've done a better job at this of not, you know, not being irate at different calls. And there was a couple times that I was in the game. I felt like with the quarterback sneak on the 2-point conversion that didn't go. I mean, I really still feel like we got in because Jalen reached the ball over the goal line. But those plays, again, we're going to get a call, whether it's in the game that you're playing or a game that you're playing next week. It's they're all things, they even themselves out. And so I've tried not to get too crazy about anything like that. And I know, and I think you guys should. Like, I'm not telling you guys not to. I think you should. But that's my perspective. That's my perspective on it, that, you know, sometimes they go, you know, the ball, this ball that we play with is this whatever shaped ball, this oval shaped ball that we play with, bounces different ways, and sometimes you get the bounce that you need and sometimes you don't. Like, for instance, Jake's ball hit the goalpost. Yeah. Sometimes that bounces in and you get a hit off of it. And that's just the same way with calls. And they got a hard job to do. That's not my job to criticize them. My job is to coach this team the best I can possibly coach this team to help them be ready to play and win each week.
All right, Nick, final thing, and this is something we've been wondering for a few weeks. Most important thing of all, why does Big Dom have a headset on? What's going on there?
Oh, shoot. Again, we've had some headset issues. He's just there to help if any headset issues happen right there, have it back up for me there. And so, yeah, I wouldn't look too much into that.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. All right, Nick, congratulations on the 4-game winning streak, and good luck versus Dallas, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
All right,
thanks,
there he is, Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni. Well,
there's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.